This recording, Arkansas 36, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville. Am I Next is copyright Dr. R.L. Booker.
Karma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with the cloth and laid her on her side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure.
Am I Next? This is a thought that does not come to mind every day, but when it does, it's enough to make any person challenge and be angry at the idea that all men are created equal. It angers me to see my brothers and sisters continually being unjustly murdered in the streets. Every time I embrace my wife and my 3-year-old daughter, I am flooded with the same question. Is this the last time they will embrace me? Am I next? The past 3 weeks for me have been filled with roller coaster emotions. I have felt these emotions before, but this ride has been much more intense. We all saw Ahmaud Arbery running, fighting for his life, and ultimately murdered. We all heard the cries of George Floyd, "I can't breathe, please, your knee in my neck." His cries for help were not unfamiliar to Black Americans, for we have heard cries for help from our mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, cousins, grandparents, and friends. We also saw Amy Cooper weaponize her white privilege in an attempt to show Christian Cooper how inferior he was to her when she stated, "I'm taking a picture and calling the cops. I'm going to tell them there is an African-American man threatening my life." This one call could have ended like so many real-life scripts that we have seen, in which a Black person loses their life. Am I next? The situations Black folks experience in America are not isolated events. Since 1619, history has been the marker with which we can see the long list of millions of black folk that have been enslaved 246 years, lynched, segregated, deprived, marginalized, murdered, discriminated, discounted, and not believed. 12 years after the 13th Amendment, which actually freed enslaved black bodies, black folk were more prosperous than we had ever been. Nonetheless, the Great Compromise of 1877, fueled by white jealousy of black success and prosperity, unleashed 103 years of Jim Crow on blacks across the United States. This destroyed businesses, the ability to own a home, congressional positions held, human rights, and denied black folk the ability to build wealth, which kept people like my 5-time great-grandfather, Anthony Lewis, who was brought here as a slave, from leaving any legacy to his children and grandchildren. Am I next? According to Roland Martin, 2013 National Association of Black Journalists, National Journalist of the Year, the marker when black Americans were technically fully free was 1970, meaning you could work anywhere, live anywhere, or eat anywhere. My mother was born in 1958 and attended a segregated school until fifth grade. This means that my 3 sisters and I are the first generation in our family to be born technically fully free. Even though we had important legislation such as the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and the Fair Housing Act of 1968, there is a mountain of research and life experiences that show how black Americans continue to face lynchings, segregation, deprivation, marginalization, oppression, murder, discrimination, discounted, and not believed from the 1960s forward. Am I next? Fast forwarding to the 1990s, where black folk, mostly men, have been the targets of police brutality, mass incarcerations, devaluing of life, and the subject of fear in the minds of people. This fear people have displayed for centuries has led to black folk to work even harder to assimilate to the dominant culture. As many black leaders have noted, if black people in this country do not master the ability to bend, the system of systemic racism will break them. We've changed our hair, we've changed our clothing, we've learned to adjust the way we talk when in white spaces, and more. This assimilation is something that most black people do not even realize anymore because this has become such a survival mechanism. Nonetheless, research shows that more than 80% of white people have very high levels of unconscious racial bias. This bias has led and continues to lead to the denial of access to much-needed resources and dehumanization merely because the color of one's skin. Am I next? As a black man, husband, father, and son, I ask that all Americans, especially my white brothers and sisters, not just stand with me, but also do the work of learning about the full history and injustices that plague black Americans. Why am I asking this? Because I do not want to be next. Dr. Martin Luther King stated that Negroes only hold one key to the double lock of peaceful change. The other is in the hands of the white community. We have written a Declaration of Independence, itself an accomplishment, but the effort to transform the words into a life experience still lies ahead.